here. May for these moments we focus on you. May, Lord, for these moments we hear from heaven. For these moments we be real honest before you. So God, help us not to mess around on our phone. Help us not to simply sketch out the afternoon's activities. May you, the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, may you get glory today. May we rejoice, Lord, at the conclusion of the messages as we honor you and as those honor you who follow you in baptism. And God, would we be more excited about this than any game that will happen this evening. And God, would you get much glory. Help me as I speak. I pray you direct my thoughts. Help me to focus, speak clearly, enunciate well. And Spirit of God, would you use me and fill me right now? I pray. Draw us to yourself. And we ask it in your Son's name. And amen. Amen. You can be seated. Be seated. If you didn't grab a handout, you can maybe duck in the hallway there real quick and get one. I've got it kind of laid out for you. A lot of you like these. And so, and if you can also follow along, basically the same notes on the app, and you can do that. Just click on the notes there. And so I need just a little bit of help. Little bit of help. Let me check here, guys. Yeah, thank you. A little bit of help. I need someone to tell me what Tannerite is. Tannerite is. If you know, you don't have to stay for the service. You can leave. So does anybody know what Tannerite is? Yeah. What's that? Sounds like a gem. It does. It does. What? Dynamite. Yeah, an explosive. What's the difference between dynamite and proper dynamite and Tannerite? Does anybody know? Yeah, you can buy Tannerite like over the counter. You can just show up and go, hey, I'd like some Tannerite, and they don't even flag you or anything like that. Let me help you. You can buy a lot of Tannerite and not raise any red flags. So if this gets me on the FBI watch list here, y'all remember, this was a sermon illustration. My interest in Tannerite comes from a story back in 2021. In 2021, a couple said, you know what? We're going to have a gender reveal party to remember. We're not going to put up balloons and pop it. We're not going to have a cake that's got a pink or blue inside. We're not doing any of that. We're not even going to have a piñata. We're going to go down to the rock quarry here in New Hampshire, and we're going to set off not 1 pound, not 2 pound, but 80 pounds of Tannerite, because it'll be okay here on the rock quarry. So let me pause here before you get ahead of me. When I re-looked this story up, it was carried on CNN Europe. It was carried on BBC. It was carried on three or four things in Britain. It was found in a couple of Canadian newscasts, and then every local broadcast around there. The story I'm reading to you is from USA Today, as it made below the fold back then in April of 2021. And with 80 pounds of Tannerite, they said, well, we'll have a gender reveal party to remember. And remember it did. Remember it did. It cracked foundations. It set off alarms. Children in New Hampshire dove under tables going, it's an earthquake, Mama. It's an earthquake, Mama. Local police were called. Police responded. Nobody knew what was going on. The husband was so upset, he went and turned himself in. It was me. I was the one who set off alarms for miles in all directions. I broke the glass. I knocked the teacups over in the homes. They brought him in. Continued to go forward with it, and people were objecting, and they found out that it was legal to do, and the police were on the air going, don't do this. Don't go. If 80 pounds is good, 85 pounds will be better. And you can only imagine the things. And again, if you get real bored during the sermon, you can look up the news story. It's pretty interesting. You can find a couple of variations. There's even a video somebody caught from a doorbell cam of the rock quarry going, poof. And anyway, nobody was hurt. Nobody was injured. And if you're interested, they're having a boy. They're having a boy. Of course, it cost them jail time and a whole bunch of fines. But anyway, they are having a boy, and I'm sure everything's happy and healthy now. We like those. We've gone crazy in America trying to reveal certain things. How many of you like a good surprise? One of you. How many of you like to be the one giving a surprise? You like to see their face. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's like, yeah. and then a secret. Is there anything more complicated than keeping a secret? Keeping a secret. Oh, man. Anybody here really good at keeping a secret? How many of you are lousy at it? Somebody says, hey, here's a secret. You're like, oh, no. The pressure. The pressure. And we're in here, and we looked at this. I've given you a couple of things. We're back in here because what I did several weeks ago was I gave you a how. How to have a heart. How to have a heart for the next, how to have a heart for other people, how to have a heart looking at the apostles' heart. And I gave you basically six ideas here. I said, if you're going to have a heart for missions and evangelism, you need to follow the will of God. You need to love and understand the message of the gospel. You need to never get over the grace of God. Be ready to proclaim the riches of Christ. Make sure you love the church. That's tricky. Church is full of broken, bent, sometimes cross people. Anybody ever figure that out? Just folks just like the rest of us. And then keep your heart warm by praying. And I said I wanted to revisit this because I gave you the how, but I didn't really give you the why, because he's exploring that as well. How many of you understand the how? You kind of get the how, and you're like, well, that's fine. But that's like how, like I can climb a set of monkey bars, or how, here's a rope going up the building. Here's how you would do this. You're going, why should I do that? Why should I put myself out there like this? Why should I care about people who don't care about me? Why in the world should I take my hard-earned money and give it to some missionary somewhere? Why should I do that? You ever, anybody besides me ever understand the how, but you really need some why? How many of you appreciate a why? How many of you are wired this way? By the way, just for fun here, real quick, how many of you grew up in parents and mom or dad, grandma, grandpa, stepmom, stepdad would say something, and you would say, why should I do that? And they responded with, because I said so. Anybody grew up in that home? Anybody grew up in a home where maybe one of the parents, grandparents, step-parents would explain it to you a little bit? Me? Like two of us. All right, very good. Very good. We had two, yeah. My wife and I had different parenting styles here. My wife would give a stern look, usually at me, and that was enough. And then we would try and explain, but every now and then just because. I'm glad we have a little reasoning here. How many of you would love to see some of the reasoning behind why we should have this heart? Why we should go forward here? Why does it matter? Why does it matter? There's a steeple up here. There's plenty of signs. We pay for advertising. If they want to know the Lord, they can find their way here. You may not say that out loud, but that crosses our mind every now and then, right? excuse me, one pastor... Adrian Rogers, the pastor of the Bellevue Baptist Church, in Memphis, Tennessee, he used to say that a person in the South who can't find a church is like a burglar saying he can't find a policeman. And he's exactly right, but we still get this mission, don't we? So I want to give you a few things this morning, if you will. You still with me? I want to give you some things this morning that will help us understand the why. Number one, the mystery, this revealed secret, is worth personal suffering. Here's the why. Go to verse 1 if you will. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles. It's worth personal suffering. John Stott says this word, the mystery here that he's going to talk about, or mysterion. We need to realize in English a mystery is something that's dark, inexplicable, even incomprehensible. Here in this context and in this culture, it means it's something that was something that is a truth that folks didn't know, but now because God has revealed it and it belongs to the church. He said, I am a prisoner because something that folks didn't really know now has been opened up by God for you and to you, and it's been gifted to the church to tell the whole world. And this is worth my personal suffering. Why is this? Because this is a treasure. Because this is valuable. Because people ought to know this, and you are holding the secret. If I knew that the cure for heart disease or brain disease or for cancer was in Montana, I would wave at each of you and get in my car right now headed that way. How many of you believe that, by the way? And I would load up as much of it as I could and bring it back to Knoxville, Tennessee, because folks need all three of those. Nod your head if you're there. And when he's talking about this, he's saying, hey, God has showed you what is this great mystery, this wonderful truth. Excuse me. Charles Swindoll saying, imagine you're a proud first century Jew. who's the fellow with the podcast, Shapiro. Imagine you're a loquacious, educated Ben Shapiro, and you find out that the Messiah has come, and you go, all right, that's it, boys. Are you going to raise up an army? Are you going to take out Rome? Going to set everything right? And nobody's doing a thing on Friday or Saturday because we're about to go back to the way it's ought to be, and we're going to clean up all these Gentiles and put everybody in their place because that's what the Messiah is coming. He's going to set everything right, and he's just going to lay everybody out, and this is how it's going to be. And then all of a sudden you hear the Messiah has come and says that everybody's welcome. The Messiah has come, and he's paid for the sins of the whole world. And he came as a suffering Savior and not as a military Savior. And he has come to not punish people, but to save people. And he has come to do these things. And his idea is to win the hearts of the Romans and to win the hearts of those who hate us, and to take folks from where they are and bring them together, Jew and Gentile, in this glorious thing called a church. And it's worth suffering for, to grow God's church, to share the mystery that has previously been hid but is now revealed, that all men are loved by the Savior, and that all men have a place in God's kingdom, and that everyone is welcome, and as we sang, and you sang so beautifully, that the ground is level at the foot of the cross, is worth personal suffering. It's worth you doing it. Why? It's worth it. It's worth it. Bigger than you are. It's bigger than I am. It's bigger than me having that extra $5. It's bigger than me. Bigger than me sleeping in a little bit longer. It's bigger than me. He says, secondly, you still with me? He says, secondly, he said, it's a trust to administer and a treasure to share. It's a trust to administer and a treasure to share. We read that a minute ago. He said, it's by revelation. God himself did this. God did this. John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh. God has communicated. That word dispensation there in your notes or in your Bible, if you want to highlight or underline or circle that or on your app, or if you got crayon, I suppose you can shade it in. It's the idea of stewardship or administration. What's a church supposed to do? One of the things church is supposed to do, we're supposed to administer. It's part of what we're to do is get out the gospel. What we're supposed to do is to share the treasure. Share the treasure. Excuse me. We try real hard. We filled in 21 point something. 1,000 pounds of rock in the gaping maw hole out here this week. And I got that finally done. It'll probably flood the parking lot now, but anyway, that's another day's problems. And that's certainly part of what you need to do to take care of a building. Nod your head. And we replace ceiling tiles, and guys replace light bulbs, and clean things and all this kind of stuff. And we got to play What's That Smell? You ever done that in your house? What's that smell? Then you play Where's That Smell? Then when you find Where's That Smell, you're like, that smell got to go. And that happens, and those are the things. But if all we ever do is maintenance is not ministry. Ministry is getting out the gospel. And you got to do maintenance to do ministry. I understand those two things. But that's not what the church is to be about. Folks with millions of dollars sitting in the bank, sit around making sure that everything looks just so. That's not a church, that's a museum. Somebody say amen to that. I'm interested in a church being closer to a hospital than a museum. I want everything first class and first rate. I'll knock myself out to keep it that way if we have to personally, because I believe that anything that deals with the Lord ought to be done well and done right. Say amen to that. But we've been given this dispensation to go forward. Notice the progression. If you're taking notes, it was given to the apostles. It's given to the church, and the church is supposed to give it to the world. What are we here for? Tell the world about Jesus. What are we here for? Tell the world. You belong. You matter. You are worthy. God loves you. God died for you. Your sins are going to condemn you and take you to hell. But the Lord paid the penalty for your sin. And if you would put your faith and trust in him, he will change your life and your family's life and your family's life, because you are included in this great treasure. How many of you, that's pretty exciting to you? Amen. And we have a treasure, trust to administer, and a treasure to share. Christ in you, the hope of glory, Colossians chapter 1. And he kind of crosses that over. He says in Ephesians, he kind of doubles down, actually triples down. He says in Ephesians, you are co-heirs with Christ, chapter 1, verse 13 and 14. You're co-members in the family of God, chapter 1, verse 23, chapter 2, verse 16. You're co-sharers of the promise. Chapter 2, verse 5 and 6, 19 and 20 through 22. Chapter 4, verse 16. You've got your Bibles open. Maybe you're able to look. Go to verse 6 if you would. As soon as you find verse 6, wave at me on your sheets or in your Bibles or your app. Kind of wave, wiggle, nod an ear at me. Wake up. Verse 6. That the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the, what's that next word? Gospel. Say it one more time. Gospel. One more time just for fun. Gospel. There we go. There's the word. If treasure trips you up and mystery makes you scratch your head, let me give you a different word. Gospel. Gospel. What's the mystery? The gospel. What's something that nobody kind of put together? Thought it was only for the Jews, maybe? Thought it was only by works? No, it's the gospel. What Christ did, the finished work on the cross, his resurrection that you sang about this morning, all of that is what we are to treasure, and not to hoard, but to share. Not to hoard, but to share. We've tried to teach our kids through the years when it comes to matter giving, open hands God can fill. Make sure you're open and generous there. Make sure you're doing that because God loves to keep things going, keep things circulating. Make sure you're doing that. We don't store up gospel tracts here to keep them on the table. We put them on the table to get them outside the doors here. Man, it's a treasure to share. It's a treasure share. It's the gospel. What's our role? He itemized it there. He says, I'm a servant. I'm a minister. He says, how? He says, by the grace of God and the energy and the power of God. Verse 7, I made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effectual working of his power. The word energy, dunamis, and power, energia, and then power, dunamis. I have the authority and the ability to serve God in getting out the gospel because he has empowered me. Let me help you. You might be nervous and scared, and it might be awkward, and you might be worried about the other, but there's one thing you don't lack, and that's ability and power. Because God's given it to you. You may put the dampers on. You may choke off the oxygen supply, but it's never going to be God's fault. God is already at work. He's already at work. The secret that's revealed, the church's mission then, is to share the secret. Growing up, it was called a couple of different things, and I'm old. I am so close to geezerdom, it's not even funny. Every time somebody says, are you doing okay, sir? Anytime somebody whispers the word sir to you, you either look like death or they think you're, one in the grave and another on a banana peel. They call you sir with authority. You're a little bit younger. But anyway, I'm starting to get a lot of whispered sirs. And I don't know what to do about it. And if they start giving me discounts on food, I know I'm really getting close to older, being older. So, but I growing up, we the game we called it was gossip. You start at one end maybe of the classroom. You'd whisper a couple of words and see if it got to the other end, and so you could do that. Anybody remember playing that game? By the way, if you work in an office complex, you play it most days, don't you? Somebody says one thing, by the time it gets to the end, you're like, oh no, they just got an alligator and they moved it into the baby's bedroom? What kind of people are they? I mean, it's amazing. Discord is a great version of gossip there, back there in Jonathan, right? I mean, it just gets messed up all the way around, doesn't it? And the more you tell something, the more it gets messed up. And keeping a secret accurately is tricky. It's absolutely, positively tricky. Well, our job is to share accurately the secret. The secret. What is the secret? The gospel that people didn't know. Excuse me. Why do we do that? Excuse me, verse 9, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. You belong. You belong. I don't want to be angry with lost people. I want them to know they belong. I don't want to be upset with folks. They belong. God loves them. God died for them. Here's the truth. Here's the truth. Embrace the truth. Here's what you need to know. Man, that all men would know our job is to share this secret. Why? Look at verse 10. Verse 10, heaven's paying attention. Heaven is paying attention. To the intent now the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. To be in the gospel proclaiming evangelism business is to be involved in spiritual warfare. The heavenlies are paying attention. When we assemble, the heavenlies are paying attention. When you're out and about, the heavenlies are paying attention. What you do with the gospel, God and his angels pay attention. You remember, what do the angels do when someone repents of their sins? They rejoice. How in a perfect place do perfect people get a little more excited? I don't think I understand it, but I sure do like it. Amen. By the way, how many of you love for the angels to rejoice today? Somebody come and put their faith and trust in Christ. Say amen. Man, they're paying attention. You say, man, it's hard. And I get into this and I do this and I'm praying for my family. All these kind of things. You're doing spiritual warfare. The heavenlies are paying attention there. This is the cosmic drama. This is, go to verse 11. This is the purpose in Christ. This is the plan of the ages. I meant to look it up this week, and I just thought about it. I don't know who it is. Mercy me. You start talking about newer gospel groups. I don't know. But beautiful song, the plan of the ages. And man, I love it. I sing like a maniac going down the road when that thing comes on the radio. And I love that. And it's taken from here. This is it. This is the drama. Your family who doesn't know Christ, your neighbors and coworkers who don't know Christ, this is the plan of the age. This is the purpose of God, that what you've been given, you share, and it changes their life because they belong. God wants them included in the fellowship of the gospel. We say, all right, you give me the three whys, so help me. Well, here's another why. How are we going to do this? This is the crossover. We got to have supernatural help. I've asked several of you, because of our three huge goals, to miss some meals, maybe miss a whole day of meals. Again, full disclosure, because of my last report, I am doing that, but I'm doing it kind of a little bit differently, because I'm not going to ask people to do something I'm not going to do. And hopefully I'll get a little stronger and I'll be able to do exactly what I've asked. But until then, how's that for full disclosure? Is that okay with everybody? But I am going about 28 hours and trying to do that and trying to pray. I'm not bragging. I'm just simply saying there are others who are actually doing more than I am right now in approaching these goals and asking God for supernatural help. And that humbles me and blesses me that we have people in our church who are willing to do that and willing to say it's important that the mystery be shared. It's important that the gospel goes out. And by the way, if you're going to ask your folks to bleed, you better be willing to hemorrhage. And so I really think we lead out front, and I'm glad so many of you do that as well. You lead so well out front. We're going to have supernatural help. And I've asked them not to do that, but I'm asking this because some of these things are big, that we get at an altar every time we have occasion and we pray. We're going to lead out front. If we say we ought to pray, we ought to pray. And if I hadn't gotten you, I just hadn't gotten to you yet, you're not less important or anything like that. It's just time and ability. I haven't got to you. We're going to have supernatural help. He gives us a couple of words here. He says boldness. Boldness. Several definitions of this include the ability to declare what is necessary. How many of you think there's a difference between being contending for the faith and being contentious for the faith? Anybody ever met anybody just contentious? They all have jobs, you know, on cable news. Get everybody riled up. I don't think we're called to always be contentious. I think it sometimes is just happens. But to contend, say what's necessary. Say what's necessary. I was listening to an interview with Brandon, help me. Living Waters is Ray Comfort. He was on a call-in show, and a guy called in and said, hey, I'm dating this lady who's involved in the cult. Should we get married? Comfort said, I thought for a moment. I swallowed real hard, and I said, well, let me ask you one thing. Are you dating her? Or are you going to bed with her? The guy hemmed and hawed, said, well, I'm doing this. He said, well, first of all, you're asking God's permission on something you already know is wrong. You're already doing something was wrong. You struggle with having the fear of the Lord in the right way. And so he just chalked all these things up. And he said, sir, I want you to know that I love you, but you need to hear the truth, because the truth will set you free. And he said, I had to pray for boldness there. Now help us here. Help us. Man, the truth ought to help us, right? Men have boldness to say what's necessary. Say it in a loving way. And by the way, if you love somebody, you say it in a loving way, you can say all kinds of things, right? If you're just being a jerk, you don't get to say much at all, because nobody can see past your attitude and thing. Again, presenting the scripture, not superior, anything like that. He says access there, prayer. I would have access. One of our themes, we haven't announced it, is to pray. I'm asking God, if we get 52 Sundays this year and no more COVID outbreaks or crazy snow events or hurricanes or tornadoes or flooding or excuse me, or I don't know what else would happen. But anyway, those kind of things that we mark 52 Sundays with somebody at the altar. 52 Sundays with people praying. I mean, you think that'd be a good thing for the church, amen? 52, we pray, and then we have confidence. It's God's plan, it's God's purpose. I shared this 3 or 4 weeks ago. I had to get over the fact that I was not sufficient and wasn't going to be sufficient, but God is sufficient. If it was going to be, it wasn't going to be up to me. It's going to be because it's up to Him. And by the way, God can handle it. It's the plan of the ages. It's His purpose. He says, verse 13, wherefore I desire that you faint not. Faint not. You ever struggled? You ever like, you ever done something really good and got it really quickly thrown back at you? How many of you, anybody here experienced the being misunderstood and all of a sudden your good thing just, all right, like five of you. The rest of you have had a better life than I have. Don't faint. He says, don't worry about me because I'm in prison. You're going to have to get a whole big barrel of faint not. Don't lose heart. Good way to send it in there. Don't lose heart. Problems, I think I put this up there. Problems are not a sign that God is not with us. I'd walk you through what's happened this week. It would discourage some of you. You know what it told me? We're on the right track. We're straight up on the right track. Guy left talking to us about our roof. We're on at home. We're on the right track. Doctor looked at me this week and shook his head. I'm on the right track. Right track. Came in this morning. Fired up the baptistry yesterday. Couldn't get one of the heaters to work. I kicked it. Looked for some duct tape. Sprayed some WD-40 on it. Prayed. We're on the right track. I mean, otherwise, water's warm. And, you know, we're on not for you, Phoenix, but for them. And, Phoenix almost got hypothermia and a few years ago. He's still kind of, it's the only thing he posts on social media. He talks about how much he loves his daughter, loves his girlfriend, and how much I tried to freeze him to death. And it's only 3 posts he ever makes. And I'm bitter about that, Phoenix. And we're here. I mean, we're flat out on the right track. Aiming this morning, one of the units is overheated. We're on the right track. Guess what? I have figured out. You going to go for God? The devil's going to go, nah. By the way, that's okay, because greater is he that's in me than he's in the world. Amen? And don't, if it all goes sideways, it's okay. Because why? Because it's not a sign. He says, don't faint because I'm in prison. The apostle's in prison. Be bold. Grab access. It is what? What God is doing in you eternally. Is worth, and in them eternally, is worth my discomfort personally. Don't faint. Don't lose heart. Keep going. See, my kids hate it when I drag them to church. Don't lose heart. Man, I got to come without my spouse. Don't lose heart. Man, if I take a stand at work, the guys are going to tease me. The ladies are going to tease me. Don't lose heart. Everybody goes out drinking. I don't. Don't lose heart. Everybody, don't lose heart. Stay at it. The mystery that's been given to you, that's now unveiled, that the gospel, the good news is for everyone, is worth your discomfort personally. By the way, that's 4 great whys, isn't it? That's 4 great whys. I gave you the how. The scriptures gave you the how. The scriptures are giving you the why. And so this is what God is wanting to do in your life and in mine. So here's my thing. You got the how, you got the why, now we get to do. We get to do, whether it's printing cards and handing them to people, I'll pray for you, let me know. Again, Dawn and Jeff are doing, whether you're taking gospel tracts to work, whether you're inviting folks to the groups, whether you've decided, look, there's about 6 empty chairs around me, and between now and Easter, I'm giving it a good shot. I'm going to start praying and inviting, because I want us to have a full house at Easter Saturday, bunch of kids and families here, and ever how we figure out how to do that. And then I want this place so full, I don't even get my regular chair. On Easter Sunday. Because it's worth it. I've been given a treasure to administrate. A truth to administrate and a treasure to share. And I know people who need the treasure of the gospel. They need to have their life changed. God wants to transform them. and then add them to this beautiful thing he calls the church. The body of all kinds of this group of people, all kinds, all ethnicities, and all ages, and all social strata, and all education backgrounds, put them together for his honor and his glory. How and why? Would you pray with me right now? Those who are getting baptized, you can be dismissed to the restrooms and all to change, and no need to rush. You're in good shape. And and what a journey God's given us in Ephesians so far. What truth he's unpacking in my life and challenging me. Maybe I hope he's doing that in your life. Maybe it's time to get a hold of some of that fear of God I mentioned. And quit excusing sinful things in your life. And you know, it's time to get those straight. Time to give those to God. Time to repent. Time to straighten up. Time to follow the word. And quit making excuses. Maybe that's where you are. Maybe you need a little boldness. Maybe it's time to invite that neighbor. It's time to talk to that coworker. Maybe it's time right now to do that. Maybe it's time to quit making some excuses. Lord, you want to use me in your ministry. You want to use me in your work.